Welcome to PCMC Pop Culture Man Children. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm joined today by Brendan Lyons. He is one of the hosts of the Ranger Things podcast. Brendan, how are you?
Hello. I'm well. Excited to be here. How are you, Mikey?
I am fantastic. I watched the Mighty Ducks for the first and second time this week.
In your life?
In my entire life. I don't know how this movie from 1992 completely passed me by. I really don't.
It's not just a movie. It's a phenomenon. It's a movement.
It produced what? Like two sequels, a not related animated series with actual ducks, and then
yeah,
a Disney Plus show with Lorelai from the Gilmore Girls.
It also produced a professional sports franchise.
But are they? Oh, because it's owned by, aren't they? Or they were owned by Disney, right?
Yeah, they were owned by Disney. They were originally the Mighty Ducks in Anaheim, California.
Incredible. Incredible. Well, what's your history, sir, with it? And I should say, because you are the host of Ranger Things, one of the hosts, with Dave Pacheco and Carlo Montignino, I said, why don't you come on and we could talk about hockey and pop culture? And then we quickly were like, you know, there's not like a Rocky for...
No.
I mean, maybe like Miracle or something.
I think Miracle would probably be hockey's Rocky.
Yeah, but like, maybe we could talk about this too. Like, hockey, is it just Americans don't love hockey the way other countries love hockey?
I think that's the thing. Yeah, that's the thing. And I'll probably, like, we could talk about this a little bit while we're talking about the Mighty Ducks. But yeah, I mean, it's very popular. It's a very popular North American sport.
Sure. Yeah.
Because of the other country here in North America.
You tell me about it.
It's a very popular Canadian sport. I think they might have created it. I should probably, as the host, the co-host of a hockey podcast, I should probably know where it was created.
I bet it was created by like Vikings, and they used like the heads of it.
I actually think, and don't quote me on this, but I actually think that much like lacrosse, mm-hmm. hockey was created by the indigenous people of North America.
Interesting. So you think we'd have a great excitement for it. But America's ass backwards in a lot of things. Like, what the biggest sport in the world is soccer or football. And here we're like,
the beautiful game.
We'd rather fucking play baseball, which is the most boring shit that's ever happened.
Yeah.
Japan weirdly likes baseball too, which is like, what the fuck?
Well, I think Japan just kind of likes, from a sports and pop culture perspective, particularly sports in pop culture, Japan just likes whatever we like.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Japan's very try hard.
After the war, like, fucking people, like, they got into baseball. But I can't, I'm not a sports fan. I'm a real, like, textbook definition of a nerd. But, like, I could watch anything that is simple. I could watch hockey because it's a very simple fucking concept. But baseball, I don't know what the fuck people are doing. Like, I really do. Watching a baseball game, first of all, it's the most boring shit ever. That's why you have to get shit-faced drunk. Otherwise, what's the point of doing it? And it's just like, it's more not doing things than doing things. I don't know why I'm roasting baseball right now, but
I think that's exactly right. I'm not a baseball fan at all. Not only would I have to get shit faced to watch baseball, but the record shows that I also would have to get shit faced to play baseball. I can't play baseball sober either. It's not a fun sport.
If they want to make it fun, go back to like the 60s and 70s where like the players were high and fat and drunk and like smoking. Like, what's with all this athleticism? Yeah.
do you like Shane Gillis?
I've really not seen any of his shit. I know he just hosted SNL.
So Shane Gillis had this like really, I've seen some of his stuff. And I know there's like some controversy around him because he was like canceled right away, but he's got this really great take on baseball where Everybody in baseball, like all white people, used to sound like baseball announcers for like generations. Like, hey, see, Roger Maurer takes home plate, and
That's
then Jackie Robinson came into the league
fantastic.
and hit his first home run and hit that accent out of every white person's.
Yeah, that's good.
It's funny to hear you say that you think hockey is simple.
No, I don't
I
think it's
guess
simple.
if
I think like a simpleton like me. I mean, any game where it's like goals, like fucking like ping pong, like any game where it's like that's their territory, that's their territory. They're trying to get it in. Like I could watch it. The only thing about hockey is it's so fast. But now they use all those fucking computer graphics and bullshit. That's like here's where the puck is. So I'm like I'm good. Or like boxing, you just one guy beats the shit out of another guy. That's pretty simple. But like baseball,
Yeah,
I don't get what's happening. It's like baking a cake. It's so many ingredients. I don't understand it.
I guess from that perspective, it is pretty simple, right? Keep puck away from other team, put puck in other team's net. But yeah, to get back to your point, hockey it isn't very popular in the United States, except for small pockets of the United States of America. It's not very popular, and for that reason, it's not. It's like a cult classic. Like if you were to compare it to like a genre of film or TV, or TV show, like we are the cult classics of American sports.
Interesting. Right.
We don't have a Rocky. I guess Miracle, like you said, for the casuals, Miracle is our Rocky. For the diehards, I think maybe like Slapshot might be our Rocky, or even like Youngblood might be our
I've
Rocky.
never even heard of Youngblood. What the fuck is
Youngblood,
Youngblood?
even though you're not a hockey fan, as a fan of movies, like I've known you for a long time, and I know that not only are you a fan of movies, but you're a true fan of awful movies.
Sure, yeah.
And Youngblood is a truly awful
Fantastic.
1980s movie starring Rob Lowe and Patrick Swayze
That tracks.
about a young Canadian man named Dean Youngblood,
It's the greatest
who
name
could
I've
go
ever
off.
heard in a movie.
Who could have it all, like the career, the girl, all of it.
Who's Youngblood? Is it Rob Lowe?
That's Rob Lowe. He's
Yeah. Of
Youngblood.
course he is. Of course he is.
So
All right, well, let me ask you about your fandom. Like, when did what year did the Rangers win the Stanley Cup when we were young?
1994, so I was 10.
So do you think had that not happened, you would have never liked hockey? Do you think that was a
No.
exciting moment?
No, I started following the Rangers a little bit a couple of years before they won the Stanley Cup. So I started following the Rangers in 1992, not long
So when
after
you were 8 years old.
not long after Mark Messier came, left Edmonton and came to the Rangers. And this around the same time, my sister started dating her now husband, who, they're 9 years older than me. And they are both big Ranger fans, and
I
that's
see.
how I became a Ranger fan. But had my sister not met Nick, and I got into hockey via the Mighty Ducks,
Yeah. Which I
the
bet a
way that,
lot of kids fucking did.
it was a phenomenon. Like roller hockey was a thing in the early to mid 90s because of the Mighty Ducks. Hockey was really taking off. The Mighty Ducks happened, and then Wayne Gretzky left Canada and went to Los Angeles. Mark Messier left Canada and went to New York City. The two of the biggest American markets
Yeah.
were now had these marquee names, and now there's like photo shoots of like movie stars and models with Wayne Gretzky and like Magic Johnson and Wayne Gretzky. This is like, So yeah, it was getting popular, and it sort of took the country by storm. And I think had I not become a Rangers fan, or if the Rangers didn't win that cup, I think I might have still been a hockey fan, but I probably would have been a Devils fan, a New Jersey Devils fan. And I
Interesting.
think a lot of Ranger fans my age would have been, because the next year the Devils won the Stanley Cup and went on this epic dynasty like run where they were very, very good through the late 90s and early 2000s.
So let me ask you right now, are the Rangers a good team?
Yes, they're very good.
Okay. I only ask this because one thing I like about Ranger Things as a podcast is that it's got the kind of vibe of like a podcast, like How Did This Get Made? Like you obviously love the Rangers and you're there to talk about the Rangers, but you're very open about when they suck and how they suck and how,
Yeah.
and I find that entertaining. So I you just saying that they're good is interesting because listening to your show, I would believe otherwise. Because you're
Well,
always like how much they fucking
yeah.
suck.
So I think Ranger fans are. So I spend a lot of time on our show. And if you're a Ranger fan or a hockey fan in general, you should check us out.
Where's it available?
So I could do my official plugs at the end, but we're available wherever you get your spot, wherever you get your podcast, you could find us. And then,
Everywhere, it's everywhere.
yeah, we're everywhere. And then you can find us at rangerthingspodcast.com and you can subscribe for free. And we do newsletters and we write
Nice.
articles. And those are a little bit less like, those are more like, there's a less fun and more like hockey, the articles. There's a, there's a huge portion of Ranger fans or hockey fans, and I think they're a younger generation. I assume they're a younger generation because I only know them through social media, because I'm the guy out of the three of us that's in charge of our social media. And they confuse what the real world is like and what playing hockey in like NHL 2024 is like. You know, like when it comes to like how trades happen and, you know, how you can build a team and things like that. And there's a lot of complaining around a team that's pretty good and in first place in their division and spends a lot of time in first place in the league. So a lot of the negative you hear coming from me is not necessarily directed towards the Rangers themselves, but they're piece of shit fans who
See,
I
that's
hate.
see, I think that's a brilliant perspective for a podcast about this team. You like your basic audience are people that you are constantly badgering and saying that
Yeah.
they're pieces of shit.
Yeah. And
Is it
that's, you
because they're New
know,
Yorkers, or is it
I
because they
that
have weird expectations?
I think that might be it. You know, I talk a lot about Yankee-itis, and even if you're not, you know, even if you're not a sports fan, like I know you're not a you're not a sports fan, but everyone knows Yankee-itis. You know, the Yankees
Yankee
won a
fans
lot.
and how annoying they can be.
Well, it's, you know, the when we were kids, the Yankees won a lot. The Yankees did a lot of winning, you know, and everywhere you went and everything you saw was Yankees, how you doing, you know, and
You bet it was.
they were omnipresent, the New York Yankees, and Derek Jeter was all over the place and they dominated the back pages of every newspaper and you saw them in restaurants and every marquee name in baseball you felt like was gonna come to the Yankees and that spoiled a lot of New Yorkers, I think. And that's not what, and there's also no salary cap really in baseball. Like baseball teams could spend as much money as they have, and that's not the case in every other sport. Hockey's a poorer sport. Like they're not poor, like they're billionaires, but like comparatively, it's a poor sport.
Where does like hockey games? Like NHL games, where do they air? Do they, on like basic TV, on like network TV,
So
or do they not?
this is where they really this is where they really fall short in my opinion. So right now you could watch a lot of hockey because they have a new deal with ESPN. You could watch hockey on ESPN, you could watch them on TNT. I believe you could also watch them on ABC for some games. But if you know they have weird out of market rules and there's a lot of blackout rules and it's very territorial. Like let's say you are a Chicago fan and you live in, you know, you live, I don't know, maybe 100 mile, like 100 miles west of Cleveland. So you're not really anywhere near Chicago, but you might be close enough to Chicago to be in their blackout territory. So you could pay for a hockey service, but you're not going to get to watch Blackhawk games because you're blacked out. You're in their local broadcast territory.
I don't
So
understand that. Or
yeah, the only reason I can watch every Ranger game that's not on national television without having cable
yeah.
is because I'm not in the New York metropolitan area.
So you're saying, like, if you want it, they're going to make you pay for it.
Yeah. You have to pay for the local broadcast network.
Well, that's fucking,
like, in New York, it's MSG. You have to pay for MSG.
Okay.
Which is part of the cable package.
Right, right. Okay.
So they're in a previous century in that regard.
All right. We better start talking about this movie or the Joshua Jackson fans are going to turn this podcast off.
I know. We're not going to talk about Fringe at all. So if that's why you showed up, you might as well.
We are going to talk about The Affair. All right. So The Mighty Ducks comes out in 1992. It's directed by Stephen Herrick, who also directed Critters and Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure and Mr. Holland's Opus. It's written by Stephen Brill, who wrote Heavyweights, a better movie, I'm going to say it. And
I'm not going to argue that.
Little Nicky, not a better movie. It's so hard because I bet you – I don't want to, like, rant, like just roast this movie because I saw it as a 40-year-old man. Like,
well, you should, because I'm
– I saw it as a child, I bet I fucking love it.
So I did love it as a child, and interestingly enough – unlike movies, like, for some reason, like, I could still watch a movie like The Goonies and it, like, I still love it, and I can't, and I don't hate it even though I'm an adult and I can't find reasons to pick it apart. But this movie, maybe because I have a really good understanding of hockey and I don't have a really good understanding of low-level mafia families pirate treasure, I can't pick The Goonies apart, but, like, I'm about to tear this movie apart
because of its poor filmmaking or because of the way it depicts hockey and how both. What is allowed in hockey?
Both.
Are you allowed to figure skate in hockey? Are you allowed to, like, spin around to distract the other team? Is that allowed?
I guess theoretically, yes.
Okay.
Well, theoretically.
Why are people theoretically, doing this?
Yeah, theoretically, if a hockey player were to just start pirouetting.
Yes, which is what happens.
On the ice.
From Tammy and Tommy.
Technically, that wouldn't be a penalty.
Right. Okay. Well, good.
It wouldn't be productive or distracting in any way. People would just skate right past that hockey player.
And be like, what the fuck's happening here?
Yeah.
If I could start by giving this movie something positive, I want to give it kudos for having females on the team without making a big deal out of it. That's pretty impressive for 1992.
It's actually one of the notes that I wrote. It's
because I was ready. Because, like, you look at something like what was the movie with fucking Rick Moranis and Ed O'Neill?
Little Giants.
That's all about a fucking girl on the team. That's the whole fucking drama.
Yeah. Same with Ladybugs.
Yes, but Ladybugs is the opposite.
It's the opposite. Like, yeah,
you need a man. to be good. Well, I feel like this movie does fall into the, like, what I would call, like, the Bad News Bears genre, right?
Yeah,
an adult who's a piece of shit. Who's forced to be the coach of a team of loser kids that suck.
Absolutely.
And they're all going to find themselves in the process.
Like, this is not something that I noticed as a little kid, but essentially Gordon Bombay's story is he's a drunk.
Yeah, he's a drunk driver
who gets caught drunk driving, and then his punishment is a 500-hour paid vacation.
Yeah, with his own driver,
with
Lewis.
A chauffeur.
Yeah,
who was a roadie.
I have a lot to say about Lewis. I have a lot of questions about Lewis.
Questionable character. So it's a 5-hour paid leave of absence.
500-hour paid. Yeah.
No, it was a 500-hour paid leave of absence. Well, 500 hours of community service for which Mr. Ducksworth is going to give him a paid leave of absence. Mikey, let me tell you something. I grew up playing hockey, right? at most, you get 3 practices a week in a game. So that's about 8 hours a week.
Yeah.
That's going to take him a full year.
Yeah.
To complete his 500 hours. That's a full year's paid leave.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's his driving. Punishment.
That's his punishment. Yeah. Hanging out with kids 4 days a week for 8 hours. That's ridiculous right off the bat.
In the beginning, Gordon Bombay, played by Emilio Estevez. No, played by Emilio Estevez.
Yeah, prime Emilio.
He But he's like a super lawyer. Like he like knows how to like quote the law, and he like looks for loopholes and
Yeah.
shit. He's
He's
like
one
gonna
of
get himself out of his DUI, and then
Yeah,
the
he found a DUI loophole?
yeah,
What
I
is it?
don't know. I don't know how.
And
I
then
don't know how.
Mr. Ducksworth puts his foot down and he's like, "Not this time, Bombay."
No more of these fucking weird
But
loopholes you keep finding to win your cases.
how, like, Gordon Bombay, so there's two really quintessential 90s characters in this movie, and Gordon Bombay is one of them, and it's like this schemey
Well, he's a lawyer, right? The
like
90s is
this
all about
schemey
lawyer jokes, fucking lawyers.
lawyer. And then I feel like Fulton Reed, who we meet halfway through the movie, is the other quintessential 90s character in this movie.
Yeah, I agree.
But Gordon Bombay is definitely the first
Right.
quintessential
Because
90s.
Fulton is a big kid who's real, he's superhuman, amazing at one particular thing.
Right.
And then he,
Misunderstood,
yeah.
scared. People are scared of him.
But yeah, but you just he just has to learn to skate, and
Yeah.
then things are perfect.
I gotta tell you that. Like, even though I've picked this movie apart so many times as an adult, it has so many flaws. Fulton Reed learning to skate in the Mall of America is my Roman Empire. I think about that all the fucking time,
Incredible.
nonstop, my whole life.
Do you think
Ugh.
about Rosenberg or Goldberg stealing a fucking churro? They are criminals.
They
How
are.
I when I first saw that scene, I was like, oh, this is fun, I guess. And then when I saw Gordon with them, I was like, you're an adult, sir. This is not legal. You're putting a lot of people in danger.
Why are you encouraging
Some
this
of these kids are
behavior?
stealing.
He
Why are the Mighty Ducks like, when you first meet them, they're like hanging out in they're like hanging out in dumpsters. They're like true garbage pail kids. Like they're not just the bad
That's
team. They're true, like we wear rags and live
right.
in filth.
And this is not even a metaphor. This is literally how you're
They're the
introduced
boxcar children. It's like, who
to
are
the Mighty
these
Ducks.
kids?
They're fishing a purse out of a dumpster to put dog shit in it.
Right.
Can
They've
we
got
talk
this
about
scene that means that is wild. Please go talk about
this scene for a second? Because
it.
they give the dog beans. So we make the assumption that
Whose
beans do
dog is
this.
this? Is it
It's
anyone's
just
dog? Did they
it's
steal a
just
dog?
a street dog. It's just a street dog
Sure,
that
okay.
apparently is there enough that they like frequently enough that they know it's going to be there. So they feed it beans, assuming that beans do the same thing to dogs' digestive systems that they do to ours, I
Yeah,
guess.
immediately.
So they collect the poop. They
Right.
put it in the purse.
The purse that
My
they fished
problem.
out of a garbage.
Yeah. My issue with the scene is the man who takes the purse. Like, he takes
Why?
the purse, he drives the block, he tosses the purse. But then, like, let's talk about the amount of time this man spends chasing 10-year-olds.
He wants to kill them with his bare hands.
This man is committed to killing children over this prank.
It goes into old-timey
Yeah,
fast motion.
it's
And
Benny Hill-esque.
I think maybe the editor was looking at it and it was like, this is a lot. Let's
Yeah.
speed this up and get through this. But when that happened, I was like, first of all, I thought that the scheme was going to make them money somehow. No, it's just to have someone look at poop or put their hand in poop. That's the whole scheme. But
Right.
then I was like, okay, they put it on like the sidewalk. And I was like, okay, somebody's gonna walk and see it. But then a car stops. I wouldn't see, if you're driving a car, you're gonna stop for a purse on the sidewalk?
Maybe, I don't know. It's
See, I was
the
just, I
early
was just,
90s in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I
I
don't
was
know.
baffled.
Apparently, it's the poorest neighborhood in Minneapolis. Why are they so poor?
I don't understand. And they've got all like the classic poor things, like, they don't have good equipment, they don't have uniforms, they don't even have a fucking name, they're just District 5.
Yeah.
Like, how did their last coach died of a heart attack? What was his deal?
Yeah. All the poor things. All the
All the
poor
poor
things.
things.
An Italian kid.
Yes. You've got Yeah, you've got every kind of shitty 90s kid. You've got the kid that thinks he's funny and he's not. You've got the like the mopey fucking sweet kid, which is Joshua Jackson, who fucking sucks.
Yeah,
Fucking
Spazway.
Charlie. Charlie is such a wet rag. He's not as bad as Charlie from the Santa Claus, who I have gone after on my show many times
Yeah,
as the worst kid in
I'm
any.
aware. I'm aware.
But Charlie from this movie is, and he's also dedicated to getting Gordon Bombay to fuck his mom. That's his
So,
number one goal
yeah,
in
he's
life.
so committed to it. He's so committed to it.
In
He's
life.
so desperate to, I mean, you know, I mean, I get it. I get it. Like, the kid wants a dad. He
Well, that's
just wants
another
a.
90s trope, which is like
Oh.
he's got a single mom. Oh
Yeah.
no. Divorce in the 90s, divorce was the worst thing that could ever happen to
Right.
anybody.
Like, I've got a couple of questions for District 5. The first question
Yeah.
is why are they so poor? We've kind of
Sure.
touched on that
Sure.
a little bit.
Can they
When
eat?
it's, you know, can these people eat?
Because
Why is it the
you only
only
ever
oh,
see,
yeah.
sorry to interrupt you, but you only ever see two parents at the games. Are the others all orphans? Where are the other
Yeah.
parents?
Where's Karp's parents?
Yeah.
Karp at one point is fully concussed.
Yeah.
Karp almost dies several times in this
Nowhere
movie, and his parents are nowhere in
to
sight.
be found. No, you only see like
The Hall brothers' parent dad.
yeah, the
He's worth.
dad, and
Yeah, he
then
took
Charlie's
off.
mom.
He missed overtime for this game.
Yeah, first of all, you don't ever miss overtime. That's not, it's not worth it. Secondly, well, that's all ridiculous. I'm sorry, go on. What are your questions for
My
District?
next question is why is D5 the only co-ed team in the league? Is it or is it not a co-ed league?
That's a really great question. We don't see any females on any of the other teams.
Zero. Zero.
Well, maybe that's in the 90s. That's another way of telling us that they're underdogs, that they suck. They don't
Yeah.
even have
Okay.
all boys.
Okay.
I have
And
questions about a character that I'm obsessed with, if we could
go
talk
for it.
about him for a second. And that's Coach Riley,
Yeah.
played by Lane Smith from Red Dawn and My Cousin Vinny. This guy is the villain. He's the villain of this film. We meet him in the very beginning because we see a flashback of him as Gordon, young child Gordon's coach, saying all the things you do not say to children.
Nope.
He's like, if you miss this, you haven't just failed and let me down. You've let the entire team down. We
And
find out
then
later that his dad just
his
died.
dad just died.
And he puts all his pressure on this kid, and then the kid fucks it up because his dad just died. He shouldn't even be out of the house. And he's the villain because when later on, Gordon goes and has to, coach, he's still the coach of the best team. But here's the thing. Is Pee Wee hockey coach a job? Is it a thing?
No.
Is it an activity that you do in the evening if your kid is on the team?
No, it's that. It
Yeah.
is that. I
He's
mean, you
been in this
I
movie,
guess you're
he's been the Hawks coach for 30 years
I
and is
guess
like hot shit.
your kid doesn't necessarily have to be on the team. You could just volunteer with the league to be the
If you're
coach.
super weird,
Right.
if you're just like, hey, I want to be around kids.
I guess you could just volunteer to be a coach, you know. But I want to go back to the penalty shot. Can we go back to the
Sure.
penalty shot,
In the
please?
beginning?
In the beginning, yeah.
Yes,
Because,
yes.
like, later on in the movie, like you said, later on in the movie, we're given some context that his dad just died.
Yeah.
But later on in the movie, we're also given some more additional context about that moment in time. After, do you remember the part where Gordon Bombay, after the loss to, it was either the loss to the Hawks. Or the loss to where he was telling him to like the loss where he was trying to get them to take to
Yeah,
pretend they were
the
and he
kids in
was
the red uniforms, I forget what their team
yeah
was.
and he was yelling at all the kids and then he looked up and
Yes.
saw Hans in like up in the crowd and then Hans
Yes.
left and then he
Yeah.
went to see Hans. First of all, question, is Hans rich? Why is his shop a castle?
No, here's my question for Hans. Where were you between 1939 and 1945? Because if you're a man in your mid to late 70s, I've got questions about your whereabouts.
Well, he is Scandinavian. He's not German. He's Scandinavian.
Really?
Yeah,
Okay.
he's
I thought he was
Scandinavian.
German. I always think of
So
Hans as German. He's also the bad guy in Lethal Weapon 2.
he is,
He's
and maybe
diplomatic
that's.
immunity guy.
Maybe that's what's throwing you off. But listen to me. Hans says something to Gordon in the shop that night
Yes.
that meant nothing to me for years and years and years and years and years. And then I watched this movie 2 days ago,
Yeah.
and I was like, what the fuck did Hans just say? Hans says, you scored 198 goals that season.
Okay.
You're not a hockey guy, but 198 goals feels like a lot,
Sounds like
right?
a lot. Sounds like
Sounds
a
like a lot.
lot
I did
for
some
a
math, Michael.
child.
I did some math. So the Pee Wee hockey schedule, I'm gonna pull it up here because I've got my math. As our
Yeah.
friend Amelia would call it, I've got some firm math here.
Yeah.
The Pee Wee hockey schedule is 13 games long. That's 15.23 goals per game. The average hockey player plays about a third of that game. So that's 20
As a
minutes.
child.
He's playing about 20 minutes per game. So that's a goal every 61.8 seconds. But here's the catch. Here's, right?
Sure.
The catch is that you're not, a shift isn't the exact amount of time every time. Like a shift is like usually like 45 to 90 seconds. So you're not always on the ice for a full minute. So that means Gordon Bombay during this season
Yeah.
to score this amount of goals is scoring a goal every time his feet touch the ice.
Yes.
In under 45 seconds.
Yes. Yes.
This puts him on a trajectory to be the single greatest athlete in the
He's ever
history
lived.
of mankind.
Yeah,
And
because
he
his dad went and
stopped
died.
playing hockey. He stopped playing hockey because he missed a single penalty shot, which did not even cost them the game, Mike. They were tied after he missed that penalty shot. They went to overtime
Yeah,
and they had an opportunity to win it in
that's
overtime.
my question, because like why does Coach Riley treat it like it's his fault when that's
Right.
not the case?
Coach Riley could have been like, don't worry, Gordo. You're just going to score a goal in the next 33 seconds like you've done all year,
Yeah.
buddy. But he
You're
probably
about
benched him. He probably benched him in overtime.
Yeah.
He probably benched the greatest athlete to ever live in overtime, and they lost the
Yeah.
game.
Coach Riley, I just imagine like he's like a real like he has he lives like a he's like a guy. Like that's not his job. Like he works in like a hardware store.
Yeah, he works at
Yeah,
Ace Hardware.
and then like he'll come in and people are like, oh, here he goes. He's gonna fucking talk about his hockey team. And it's like, I fucking told you to put the paints back, Riley. God damn it. It's just so funny. And also, I don't mean to be cruel. I don't mean to talk about the way people look. But I could never be intimidated by someone. This is true. I could never be intimidated by someone with a bad hairpiece because, and it's not that I have, I'm bald myself. It's not that I don't have respect for bald people. It's that when you have a hairpiece, it means you're bald but vulnerable about it. You don't want to admit it, and you're lying to everyone. And we all,
Really, you're
in the
lying to
courtesy
yourself.
to you, have to pretend like we don't know.
Yeah, like we don't see this dead
Like
animal on
I've
your
never
head.
I could never be intimidated by a man in a hairpiece. It cannot happen. I'm sorry, but he's like he's nobody mentions it because it was probably the actors, not the characters.
Yeah.
But he's like he's perfect like bad guy coach in one of these movies. He it's not about the kids having fun. It's not about it's
Yeah.
not it's about you gotta win over anything. He makes them chant win, win, win.
And it's not like winning isn't enough.
Yeah.
He literally says to them, it's not worth winning
Yeah.
if you can't win big.
Yeah.
That's his motto.
He'll put a kid in the fucking hospital if he has to.
He does. He
Yeah.
does.
Which is wild.
There's a scene in the, I know we're jumping around the movie a little bit here. But there's a scene at the end in the championship game. This is after Adam Banks, so I've got a lot to say about Banksy.
Yeah.
But Adam Banks is already a duck at this point, and Adam Banks scores a goal but gets tripped up as he's scoring a goal and sort of slides face first into the
Yeah.
boards. And then he gets up, and as he's getting up, or like, no, he gets tripped and like goes viciously
Yes.
into the net.
Yes. He's Yes.
Right? And like is very hurt. He's very
Right.
injured. This is a
And
little
the
kid.
only thing this kid did wrong, by the way, is fucking Coach Riley gerrymanders the fucking Pee Wee hockey.
Right. All
And
this
he
kid did
had this kid
wrong.
on his team because the
Yeah.
kid's good. But then Gordon fucking brought up that the kid is not in the right district. So the kid goes to play for the Ducks just because he wants to play hockey, because he's a child who wants to play hockey. But that's enough for Coach Riley to be like, no, now you're a fucking enemy.
Yeah. All this kid did wrong was live in the house that his parents bought.
Yeah, that's what
That's
he
it.
fucking did wrong.
So now this little kid is hurt. There's a little kid injured
Yeah.
laying on the ice, and Riley's response is, "All right." Like
Right.
that was his response. And then this was the worst part about it. There was that scene right after he gets hurt where it should like it shoots to the two Hawks, and one of them's
Yeah.
like, "What did you do?"
Oh my
And
God.
the big one goes, "My job."
Sir, you were 12 years old. What are you talking
I
about?
gotta tell you something.
My job.
8-year-old Brendan shivered with "my job." That
I mean,
was
yeah.
terrifying.
They're fucking, they're stone, they're cold. They're monsters.
The Hawks are what we in the hockey community call a wagon.
Does that
They're unbeatable.
Okay. They are, yeah, they're the best. Well, you see in the rink, like every championship except for the year that Gordon Bombay's dad died and he ruined it.
I wish they would take that one down, don't you? Yeah, that's the year my dad died. I'm
Yeah.
like, did he die? He died like a heart attack
Yeah.
shoveling snow.
Yeah. Like, that's what I'm sad about. How are you still doing this? How are they letting you still do this?
What I don't understand, to get back to Adam Banks, is why do the kids hate Adam Banks so much?
I
Like,
know
everyone hates Adam Banks. Adam Banks
he's
is the
done
true
nothing wrong in
hero.
his life.
He's the true hero of this story.
He's a victim of every circumstance, and we all fucking hate him for it. And then he ends up in a fucking stretcher and
A
probably a body bag.
stretcher. He's the only reason they're in the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
The Ducks make the playoffs. They only won one game in the whole season.
Right, because Hans is like, only the last two. The worst two are the only ones that don't get into the
And then
fucking.
once one of the teams had to forfeit the whole season because they got the measles
Yeah.
or something. But
Yeah.
yeah, when Bombay started coaching them, they were 9-0. They were 0-9, no, I'm sorry, 0-9. And then they got beat by the Hawks. That was
Yeah.
the you can't you know the game, the confrontation game.
Yeah.
Then there was the, you know, the nice moments that they had together, and then they got the new jerseys
Yeah.
and the new equipment. And then they tied the next game, proving that looks do matter.
Yes. Apparently, yes. That's true.
Yeah. And then they that that's when Hans tells Gordon, if you just win the next game, then you're in because of the
Yeah.
measles team,
Right.
because of the team of because of the entire group of children
Yeah, fuck them.
that are suffering from the
Coach
measles.
Riley probably gave him the measles.
Probably.
Oh, another 90s trope, and I guess it's a sports movie trope, is like unconventional training. Like when they're like playing with footballs on the ice.
Oh, that scene is iconic. I love that scene with the eggs and the footballs.
I can understand the egg thing, but what is the football? What are they doing?
I
What's
don't
the
know.
point of this?
There is no point. None of it, there's none of it means anything.
Yeah.
None of it translates. Like even like I guess the eggs maybe like the soft hands thing maybe
Right,
yeah
right.
okay
It makes some sense.
nothing else means anything
Yeah.
like they didn't have to tie Goldberg up that's for sure
Yeah. Well, no, they did. They had to teach him to not be afraid of pain and that with his pads on, he'll be fine. What do you think about the montage of the kids in Hans Ye Olde Sports Shop with fucking Good Vibrations by Marky Mark
Oh,
playing?
I love that scene. That's one of the mo that's one of the more iconic scenes in the movie. I think that like there are several iconic scenes in the movie. That's one of them. I think like the North Star scene is a really iconic scene
What scene is that?
where they go to the game and they meet Mike Modano and
Oh,
they have
yeah. Yeah,
the
yeah, yeah.
practice and they're playing on the ice before the game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think that's a really iconic scene. Obviously, the practice with the eggs is an iconic scene. Then any quacking is iconic. Like the
Yeah.
crowd quacking, iconic. The quacking at the teacher,
Right.
iconic. Quack,
They
quack,
all,
quack, Mr.
by the way,
Ducksberg,
they're all
iconic.
in the same class. Every single one of them is in the same class.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous.
I'm pretty sure they're different ages.
Yeah. What are they
And
all?
fucking Tammy and Tommy, they're new. So what are they just, they switched into their class when they joined the team? The fuck's
Also,
going on?
how are they siblings and the same age? Like, one is
Right. Well,
like.
the Tommy is Little Pete from Pete and Pete. He seems younger.
He's definitely her younger brother. How are
Right.
they in the same class?
Right.
Also,
How does that work with
Fulton's
the team?
33
Like,
years old.
who's 32 years old?
Fulton Reed.
Oh yeah, he's a grown man. He does his taxes.
Can we talk about Jermaine Gee for a
Yes.
little while? Jermaine Gee might be my favorite character in the movie
Okay.
because he's like another quintessential 90s character. He's the lover of the group.
Yes.
Him and
Yes.
Con he's like he's got his girlfriend Connie.
Yes, they hold hands at the game.
They hold hands again. They kiss after they win the championship.
Yes. He's like a, well, he doesn't say much though, right? I mean, he's kind of like a dud of a character.
I love him. You know what? Maybe it's, I guess in the first one alone, yeah. But I can't help but think of him across the entire trilogy. You know, him and Connie continue to blossom across the
Okay.
entire
Of
trilogy.
course. That's nice. It's nice to know those kids made it work out. Are there any kids in the first one that don't appear again?
Yes. So only one of the Hall brothers makes it out of the
Okay.
first movie, just Jesse Hall,
Okay.
which
The
is
main hole.
Cake
He's like the
Eater.
consciousness of the group. He's the one who's gonna fucking tell you what it is. Like in the beginning, when
He's the
Gordon
woke
comes up
one.
to them, he's treating him like a drug dealer. He's like, oh, we ain't gonna buy your drugs. Get the fuck out of here.
Just say no. We'll use your eyeballs as hockey pucks. And Gordon Bombay's like, chill out, bro. This
Yeah.
movie's wildly racist.
That's uncomfortable when he does that. It's very
Well,
uncomfortable.
that's not even the racist part of this
What's the
movie.
racist part?
Like, remember when you were like, oh yeah, it's super great that like they have girls on the team and
Yeah.
they don't say anything about it? They immediately, like, the goodwill they get for not being sexist is immediately destroyed by the blatant racism. In the first game against the Hawks, the starting line for District 5 is Guy Germain centering the two Hall brothers, Jesse, and I forget the other one's name.
Yeah, he's not important.
So they're the starting lines. So Guy's the center, and then Jesse is the right wing, and his brother is the left wing. And then the Hawk center approaches the dot in the center at center ice towards Jesse, towards Guy Germain,
Yeah.
looks at the line and said, "What's this, the Oreo line?"
Oh shit, yeah.
And they are from that point on referred to exclusively as the Oreo line by
Yeah.
everyone, including their own teammates and coach.
Yeah, that's pretty fucked up. I forgot about it until you
Wow.
said it.
Wildly racist.
Yeah. God damn. What? Yeah. The 90s was such a fucking wild time. You can't even describe it to people. It's just the fucking shit that flew. I'm happy that no one says the R word in this movie. I was waiting for it. Especially, it's the same person who wrote Bill and Ted. There's a lot of
Yeah, it's
R word in
all over. Well, that was a little bit
that
earlier. Well, I mean, in 92, it was still pretty, I mean, it was still super prevalent in 92
Oh yeah.
in movies. But yeah, just, conceptually, this movie is ridiculous from both like a plot point and then like as far as hockey is concerned,
How
this
so?
movie is.
Elaborate for me.
Well, from a hockey standpoint or from like in the real world,
Oh, tell
like.
me from a hockey standpoint.
Well, first of all, the Gordon Bombay being the greatest athlete to ever live and then not playing hockey ever again
Yeah. just becoming the greatest lawyer who ever lived.
Right. And then just like the arc of their season, right? So like I said before, when Gordon finds them on that faithful pond that day, they are 0-9. But according to Connie, they came close one day, they only lost by 5.
Yeah.
Then they play the Hawks, they lose 0-10. Then they get their new uniforms, they tie 0-10-1. Then they need to win to make the playoffs, right? Hans tells them you win this game and you make the playoffs. But then there's the sarcasm blunder. Remember the sarcasm blunder?
Yes, of course.
Where Gordon is talking to Riley and he's like, "Oh, they're losers. They don't deserve to win." And the kids hear them. That's the "We love you. We're mad at you. We love you."
Again. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So now we're in the "We're mad at you" valley.
You say that you don't deserve to live.
Right.
It's fucking sarcasm.
So while we're in the "We're mad at you" valley of the plot, you know, the story,
they forfeit a game.
They forfeit a game.
Yeah.
So now they're 0-12.
How many games do they win?
One.
The last game.
The last game. They won. The 13th game.
They won the whole championship with one win.
So they win the last game to make the playoffs, which doesn't even make sense. How could a season be an odd number of games?
These are things I would not even think about.
It could not be an odd number of games. There has to be an even number of teams.
Right.
Unless there was supposed to be more games, but there aren't because of the team that has measles.
Rest in peace to that team.
Maybe there should, but even still, you would assume there aren't there's probably only 8 teams, or like there would probably only be 6 teams, and you play each team twice. You know, or something like that, or you know, there's not 14 districts, and you play every team once.
Right,
that's, you know, that would make sense. Right, anyway, whatever. So there's 13 games. They go 1-12. No, sorry, they go 1-11. No, 1-12-1.
Mm-hmm.
They go, I think, somewhere around there. So 1-12-1. So it's 14 games. 14 games. Yeah, 14 games.
I'm trying to remember, is there any point where there's like a montage of winning? Like a kind of like yada yada, they won a bunch that we don't have to show you.
Yes, and that's the playoffs. So they have an abysmal regular season up until the last 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, where they tie, forfeit, win, and then they absolutely fucking dominate in the playoffs.
Yes.
Right? And I don't know, I mean, I've never, I know hockey's popular in Minnesota. In fact, it's like, especially in the 90s, like leading up to the 90s, it was one of the only places in America where it was popular. But it wasn't like to have peewee hockey in the newspapers.
Peewee hockey in Hockey Magazine, and underneath it says the number one hockey publication. The number one hockey publication in the world, just week after week, is just...
covering,
reporting about the Ducks,
11-year-olds in Minnesota,
and also the personal beef between Gordon Bombay and Coach Riley. There's literally a picture of both of them, like, "Oh, they're going up against each other." Right. We're a hockey magazine; nothing else is going on
in the world of a professional sport.
Right?
You've got the pro level, the collegiate level, the Olympic level, peewee hockey.
Right.
So yeah. So then they dominate the fucking playoffs.
Yes.
Then they meet the Hawks again in the championship game. Again, like I said earlier, the Hawks are a wagon. The Hawks score 4 goals in the first period of that game. Well, 3 goals and three goals in the first period of that game, and they take a 3-0 lead. And then the Ducks score two goals in like the third period.
Uh-huh.
And then the Hawks score again, but somehow through the power of friendship and the triple deke, another iconic scene.
That scene is they have it in the bag, but because he wants to fuck this kid's mom, he's like, I'm going to give this opportunity to you, the obvious wet blanket on this team. The kid that's not exceptional, but I've been showing favoritism towards because I want to fuck your mom.
Exclusively because I want to fuck your mom.
And you want me to fuck your mom too. There's no problem. We're both in agreement. We both
I want me
you
to
to
fuck
fuck
your
your
mom.
mom.
You want me to fuck your mom. Your mom wants me to fuck your mom.
Yeah. The rest of these kids are fine with it. I'm gonna let you do it. Not this fucking ringer, 35-year-old fucking Fulton. Fucking goes to work every day in the mine and then comes back. Yeah. Comes and plays
this
fucking.
This kid's a longshoreman.
I like in the beginning when he just shows up to dispense justice, like
yeah,
the like whenever they're being picked on, he just shows up and like grunts and like beats up the Hawks and then goes back into where he came from. He doesn't hang out. He's just like, I'm going back now. I've done what I had to
yeah.
do.
And that fucking Nirvana song plays from Batman.
Oh my God.
But yeah. So then, yeah, then they win. They win the game. Charlie Spazway wins the game.
Yes.
You know what else is crazy? In that championship game, Charlie gets like checked or tripped.
Uh-huh.
And he like falls and slides against the boards, and then he gets up and it's like his helmet comes off.
Yeah.
And one of the Hawks boards him. And boarding is when you like skate.
Yes.
And
I have
you
what did they
don't
ask you about
stop.
this?
You don't stop and you hit that player
Yeah.
directly in their back numbers when they're on the boards.
Yeah.
That's called boarding, and it is an extremely violent penalty.
Yes.
And the reaction from everyone
yeah.
was cheering.
Yeah.
Like everyone was cheering.
And his mom was like, oh shucks. His mom was not that worried about it.
Yeah,
she was
his
like,
mom
all
was like,
right, walk it off.
Yeah, ooh, tough hit.
Well, let me ask you. I know that violence is a part of hockey as a game, but at the Pee Wee level, do they tolerate that kind of fucking violence?
So in the 90s, I mean, no. So look, boarding is all look, hockey was definitely more
one
violent.
Kid gets taken out on a fucking stretcher.
No, so hockey was definitely more violent in the 90s than it is now. Like every sport was more violent. Every contact sport was more violent in the 80s and 90s than it is now. But at the peewee level, like they took hitting out of peewee hockey when I was like 13.
Okay.
So
So it would have been there. But I feel like it's particularly brutal with the
this
Hawks
was,
too.
This was still a penalty in 1992.
The Hawks
like,
are fucking bruisers. They're fucking killers. If
right.
they don't win on their merit, they're going to beat up people.
Right.
It's insane.
Right. When they intentionally, brutally injure Adam Banks.
Yeah.
Coach Riley's response was, that will teach them for scoring on us.
Yeah, that's what they get. You know what this movie's missing? It needs, like, a backstory for Coach Riley where, like, oh, he's the richest man in town. He owns the rink. Or he owns, you know what I mean? Like, he owns half the league. Like, you need
right.
that to, and then you would be able to, like, understand, like, why they get away with such bullshit.
Yeah.
But you don't
I
have
feel
that.
like,
you know nothing about Coach Riley.
I feel like Riley, like, they should make more, they should make more seasons of the Disney Plus show.
Yeah.
And Riley should reappear as the villain, sort of like, what's his name, reappeared in Cobra Kai. As the villain,
Gris?
The old,
What's
yeah,
his name?
Grice,
Gris, yeah,
the old karate master,
yeah,
as the villain, and then we can get like Riley's backstory.
Oh God, it's gotta be so fucking grim. Well, let me ask you, I have not seen part two or three. Can you give us a brief synopsis on what happens?
Yeah, totally. So, as you might expect, things continue to spiral completely out of control. So, actually, I'm going to take that back just a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Right after the events that you saw in the Mighty Ducks 1, probably the only predictable and reasonable thing that happens in the entire Mighty Ducks universe happens, but it happens off camera in between Mighty Ducks 1 and Mighty Ducks 2. If you remember, Mighty Ducks 1 concludes with Gordon Bombay getting his shot in the
minor
leagues.
Yes, yes. He's going off at the end for
as a
his
40-year-old.
Yeah, for his minor league tryout. He kisses Charlie's mom in front of the children. Don't kiss in front of children. They all go, ooh. Charlie's like, I made this happen. I brokered this.
So, Gordon Bombay, a 45-year-old lawyer,
Sure, yes.
is now going to try out for a minor league hockey team. Minor league hockey team, the ranks of a minor league hockey team are filled with like 18-year-old to 21-year-old kids,
Sure.
right? So he's going to go try to compete
Right.
athletically
Right.
with them.
Right. Correct.
So immediately he is injured and can never skate again.
Sure, of
So
course.
that's the most predictable and
At the
realistic thing to
tryout, or does
happen.
he make it onto the
I think
team?
he makes the team and then he's injured by somebody and he can't
Okay.
play every game. He
Okay.
hurts his knee.
Oh,
So then
so
he comes.
does every movie give Gordon another tragedy, like another thing he has to deal with? Okay.
So
Okay.
then he comes back to Minneapolis.
Now a loser.
Yeah, a failure in disgrace.
Right.
But
He'll just
he's
have to open
immediate.
his own firm and be a
He's
lawyer.
a well, no, he's immediately rewarded by Hockey USA because the Goodwill games are going on in Los Angeles, California, and they select him to coach Team America's youth hockey team. So he takes his Ducks with him because apparently his Mighty Ducks are such a sensation.
Yes.
The whole country, the whole world really
Knows who they are.
knows who they are.
I mean, anyone
So,
who reads, Hockey Magazine knows who they are. They're on the cover every week.
So they go to LA to compete, and this is where we meet a whole new cast of fun and interesting characters like Julie the Cat Gaffney. A
Okay.
goalie from Maine. We meet Rodriguez, a Cuban hockey player from Miami, who's
Sure.
actually just Benny the Jet Rodriguez
Okay.
from The Sandlot. They didn't even give him a new name. They
You're
just he's
the
just
same
Benny.
guy.
He's just
Yeah.
Benny the Jet Rodriguez. And he's
Now
like
I play
he's
hockey.
super fast. He's super fast and he can't stop.
Yeah.
There's a kid from Texas. And he does a whole like lasso thing.
Sounds like it's against the rules.
Yeah, there's a little Asian kid named Wu who is an Olympic figure skater. So
Okay.
he's the new
So just
Tammy.
more caricatures of people and
Yeah.
places.
Then there's another 46-year-old enforcer from Chicago. His name is Dean Portman, and him and Fulton Reed come together to form the Bash Brothers. Some of your favorites from the Ducks go, like Charlie's there, Banks is there, Jermaine is there, Connie's there, Aberman is there, because we're not going to do this without Aberman.
Course, you need to make terrible jokes.
Goldberg is there, even though he's always just about to move back to Philly,
Oh,
Goldberg.
yeah.
Who else is there? I don't know. There's more of them go. But then there's also because it's in LA, I mean, the LA is the hood. It's
Yeah.
urban in
Oh,
LA. So
boy.
there's
Yeah.
so the blacks are there, Mike. I don't know if you
Well,
know this.
yeah, I had a feeling it was going to get uncomfortable.
But the blacks live in LA.
Yeah, sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And they're not down with how all these white boys are playing hockey.
Sure, yeah. Makes sense.
This is where we meet Keenan,
Oh, yeah.
who's in two, and he has a special trick that he does where he stands the puck up on its side and shoots it and it spins, and he calls it the knuckle puck, and it's completely ineffective, but everyone's terrified of it.
Sure.
And this is actually at the end of the movie. They can't seem to get it together because they're wearing the USA jerseys and they just can't come together.
Right.
But in the championship game,
Yeah.
Hans shows up. No, it's not Hans. It's Hans's brother because we don't know where Hans is.
He's
Again,
in
questionable.
Nuremberg.
Yeah. Hans's brother shows up with these jerseys, and they're the Mighty Ducks jerseys. And it's like the Mighty Ducks jerseys that we know, the white ones with the green and the
Yeah,
purple and the teal and the purple. And they come out in those jerseys and obviously dominate. And the villains are the Swedish hockey team, and they're just the Hawks with Swedish accents.
Sure. Same, it's the same idea.
Yeah. And then in the third one, they go to high school.
Okay. They all go to high school?
Yeah, they go to Eton Hall. They get a they all get scholarships to Eton Hall.
Okay,
and they
sure.
They go play for the Eton Hall Warriors, which by the end, as you could probably guess, become the Eton Hall Ducks.
Sure. The name and the jerseys are the most important ingredient in their success.
Yeah. Everywhere they go, they just shit on however much legacy and tradition was there before.
We've
got to
be
there.
The Ducks, which is a name we got from one of the bad guys from the first movie, Mr. Duckworth.
You're welcome.
Happens in that Disney Plus series? And do any of the kids come back?
Yes. So in the Disney Plus series, which was actually better than I thought it was going to be.
Okay.
So the Disney Plus series is about a little kid who wants to play hockey and is like a not so good hockey player on a very good hockey team. He's on the Ducks, actually. So he's on the Ducks, but the Ducks have become the Hawks.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, the Ducks have become this sort of powerhouse team where they've won championship after championship for 30 years. And
interesting, yeah.
They only take the best of the best, and it's very elite. And kids' parents from all over the state want their kids to play for the Ducks program. And this little kid wants to be a Duck, but he's not quite good enough, and he gets cut from the team. So his mom, Lorelei, there's a trend with the Mighty Ducks and horrible adults.
Sure, yeah.
You know? So she helps him. She helps him and his like ragtag bunch of friends start a team, and she rents ice time from this like curmudgeon rink owner who happens to be Gordon Bombay.
So he never went back to lawyering.
No.
Classically a good occupation to have.
So he was a super successful lawyer who made a mistake, went back to hockey, and then then started running a bowling alley and ice rink after that instead of just using his law degree.
But
the show's pretty good. It's pretty funny. I enjoyed it.
Kids come back.
So there's a one scene in one episode where there's like a reunion and but Fulton's not Fulton anymore. He's Foggy now, you know, from Daredevil. It's like Fulton's back. Guy and Connie are there, and Wu is there, and everybody but Joshua, like all the big ones but Joshua Jackson. And they're like, oh, Charlie texted us, and he said he wasn't sure if you were going to be here, so he didn't come.
They should have made him dead. Charlie. Yeah. Oh, so does he not? He doesn't stay with Charlie's mom?
No, they should have done. You know what they should have done? They should have done what like Fuller House did with Netflix, where every time they mention Charlie, every on-screen character breaks the fourth wall and just stares at the camera awkwardly for 15 or 16 seconds.
Yeah,
that's probably what they should have done. I think that would I would have enjoyed that more.
Let me ask you a question: is Emilio Estevez a bad actor? You can take as much time as you want on this one.
Overall or in this movie?
In this movie, let's say.
No, I don't think so.
I'm going to disagree with you.
I think this
movie... He doesn't
movie...
move his face. He's like a mask. And he also doesn't look people... He doesn't look the other characters in the eye. He always looks like he's got a far-off look. I don't know if he's sleepwalking through this movie or what, but I was just like, wow, he's really bad in this.
I don't think there's a single... good actor in this movie. I think this is a kids movie.
Yes.
So
but think about like how great Walter Matthau is in the Bad News Bears. He's fantastic.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? I'm going to take that back. I think what's his name who plays Riley is really great in the movie.
Yes, yes, it's true. No, he's good.
Cuz you really hate him by the end of this movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he's fantastic in this movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, maybe, I guess maybe you're right. I guess he's not so great. He's not so great in this movie.
It's just, I was really gobsmacked. I was like, holy shit, what's happening? What is he doing? And you know, like they offered it to Charlie Sheen and he said no. So like, what's the next best thing? Emilio Estevez? And he said, yes, I'll do it for 30 years. No problem.
Now I'm trying to think of what movie Emilio Estevez has been a good actor in.
Well, let's look at his IMDb.
It's just all Mighty Ducks. Well, there was the Mighty Ducks movies. He's pretty much the same in all of them. There was Stakeout and
Yeah,
Stakeout 2.
Stakeout.
Men at Work, that was a classic. I don't
Let's
remember if
see.
he was a good actor in that.
Yeah, he.
I could tell
Yeah.
you that I objectively think that his brother is a bad actor. Like, I don't think Charlie Sheen is.
He's in Mission Impossible 1?
He is
Uncredited?
there. He's in Mission Impossible 1 for about 6 seconds.
Oh, he's in Loaded Weapon 1.
Yeah. So, do you remember Mission Impossible 1 in the very beginning where
No, it's been
Ethan
so long
Hunt's.
since I saw
So,
that. Oh, he's in Young Guns, right? Young
yeah.
Guns.
So, he's, you know what? He's really good in Young Guns. He's really
Yeah.
good in Young Guns. That's a really great movie where both him and Charlie Sheen are good. So, he's in Mission Impossible. Do you remember in the beginning where his whole team is killed and he gets framed for it?
Yes. Yes.
So, Emilio Estevez is like the tech guy who's in the elevator, and the elevator goes all the way up and he gets crushed. He gets like spiked in the face by John Voight.
He's also in Maximum Overdrive.
I don't think I've ever seen Maximum Overdrive.
You have, because you and I saw it together.
Okay.
It was playing on TNT Monster Vision one Saturday night. And we watched it. That's the movie
People.
with that's the only movie directed by Stephen King about the fucking trucks that come alive.
Yeah, okay, yeah. You know, I think you're wrong about never having seen The Mighty Ducks.
Really? It's
Yeah.
possible.
And here's why I think you're wrong.
Right, yeah.
Because my dad, what month did that movie come out?
What month? Let me see. I'll get the date here. The Mighty Ducks, 1992. Year of our Lord. This came out October 2nd, 92.
That's tough. So I'm pretty sure my dad took me to see The Mighty Ducks with people, like with other children.
Yeah.
And typically, anytime my dad or your dad took children to see a movie,
Yeah.
the other one of us was
Yeah.
there.
Yeah. I don't know. It was in October, not around your birthday. Your birthday's
No,
coming up, right?
it is next week. Yeah. I feel like
You're gonna be
we
40,
saw
right?
all 40 years old. Yeah.
Congratulations. Welcome.
Thank you. I feel like we saw all of the major, like, released in the early to mid 90s movies together.
Yeah, we've done this whole episode and not said that me and Brendan are first cousins.
Yeah. That's probably.
That's why we know each other our whole lives.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure we saw, like, what, like, I think it was my dad who took us to see Jurassic Park together.
Yes, Mario,
But,
Ninja
like,
Turtles.
yeah, but like the John Leguizamo
Yes, the good one, the good one.
mark. Scream.
Yes. Yeah, we saw everything at that, all the good and the bad.
Every
Did
big
you see
90s
Back to the
movie.
Future 3 with me?
Probably.
I remember
I think I
that one.
remember. Oh, I think your dad took us. Because I remember seeing that movie with Dave, with your brother Dave.
Back to the Future?
Yeah,
Yeah,
I remember.
I remember Dave. So I was so yeah, you did see Back to the Future 3 with us.
Yeah, because I remember Dave being there. I think I
Batman, the
remember this.
Batmans.
Yep. So
Yeah.
yeah, that's why I'm pretty sure you had to have been there when I saw the Mighty Ducks. You just don't. I mean, you were nine,
It
so.
somehow made no effect on me. But it had a huge effect on you.
It did, yeah. I'm still a fan to this day. I am still a fan.
Yeah. All right, well, you know what? Tell us a little bit about your podcasts.
Yeah, gladly. So, if you're a hockey fan, if you're a Rangers fan, you should definitely check us out because we have a really unique perspective on the Rangers. I think it's unique, one, because we're one of the only Ranger podcasts with three hosts. Most are just one or two. So we cover the full spectrum of emotions when it comes to Ranger fandoms.
Yes, that's true.
On every episode, you typically get a little bit of blind optimism,
Somebody's
sad
sad.
boy. Yeah, somebody's angry at people for being sad. Somebody's angry at people for being optimistic.
Yeah.
Somebody's angry at people for not being optimistic. You truly get it all.
That's true. I'm not a hockey fan, and I've listened to a lot of episodes. And you'll go on about like cooking meatballs and shit. Like you go off on other topics. But even when you're talking about hockey, I find it entertaining the way that you I don't know. I find most like sports shows, like, I don't know. It's very like clinical, but you guys like, I don't know. You guys talk about it in a lively kind of fun way.
So when we started this podcast, Mike, we made a conscious, we had a conversation about what we wanted this podcast to be. And what we had listened to a lot of other sports podcasts and made a conscious decision to be nothing like
them. Uh-huh.
We didn't want to just be three people watching games and then talking about, like, just breaking down the thing
right
that we had just watched play by play. Because anybody could do that. I mean, you could, you know, you could have just watched what we watched.
Yeah. Right.
Or, you know, and I feel like when I listen to other podcasts or even just sports radio, even though it's sort of a dead medium now, it's just everybody's just regurgitating the same talking points on every different show. We didn't want to be that. So, yeah, we'll talk about the Rangers a lot. We'll talk about the things they do, the good.
Right. You'll
and the
talk
bad.
About like what the fandom is doing, what's going on Twitter.
Yeah, but we'll also talk about the fandom, how the fans interact with each other, how they interact with the team. We also talk about the league in a whole.
Right.
We talk about hockey in its whole, so that means we're talking about the new women's league, the new female league, which is like becoming a tremendous success. I know the Mighty Vin was on your show recently, and it was one of the things he's obsessed with.
Yes, he has a sports podcast as well called Oddball.
Yeah. I heard him talk about it on your on this podcast actually, so I was going to check it out. But yeah, so really one of the biggest messages that we have that we try to get across in the way we talk about the Rangers and hockey is that hockey is really a sport for everybody.
Okay.
Right? It's not just a sport for people who have been fans their entire life or who have played hockey, who are diehard sort of like analytic heads. There's a space in hockey for all different types of fans. There's a space in hockey for people who aren't fans at all, like you. And there's certainly a space in our show.
Yeah,
for everybody.
It's a good show, and you know you're not all in New York, but you all are New Yorkers, and like grew up in, you know, like, so it's you're not looking out, you're not looking in from the outside, which is, I think, I don't know. It's a good perspective.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that makes us a little bit unique is that we really like interacting with the people who listen to our podcast. And I know a lot of podcasts say that, like a lot of sports podcasts would be like, oh, we want your feedback. Like send us your questions, but fuck your questions. Come on our show.
Uh-huh.
Like come hang out with us on our show.
Yes. Yes.
Talk about the Rangers or talk about hockey or talk about meatballs or talk about whatever the fuck you want to talk about.
How long have you been doing it now?
We've been doing it since the summer. We started doing it in around June or July. Since
so
the off season.
When is, yeah, I was going to say, what are you going to do in the off season?
We're going to keep going. We're going to go right through the off season. The off season is going to be wild. We don't really have a plan for it. Cause obviously in the off season, there's still things to talk about. When it comes to hockey, you know, we'll talk about the offseason moves that the Rangers make. There's still some action that goes on.
Yeah.
Some, you know, trades and training camps and stuff like that going on around the league. But we're going to try to come up with some fun things to talk about, you know. Give us, you know, what fucking Star Wars characters would...
Right.
Or something like that. Or, you know, we might just go off the wall completely. But one thing that we do know is that there's going to be an episode every single week. And I kind of like the episodes where we talk about the Rangers the least.
What day do you
think those are? We drop every Monday.
We drop
every Monday. Sometimes we'll drop on a Sunday night, but typically it's every Monday unless there's some sort of big event that goes on. Like this week was the trade deadline. We dropped an emergency episode last night.
Okay.
We'll still have an episode that comes out on Monday. And then as the playoffs get closer, and then when we're in the playoffs in a couple of weeks, we're probably going to shift to two a week just to cover everything happening in the playoffs. And that bonus episode will be strictly – that'll be a little bit more – classic sports podcast, probably. That'll be a little bit more like act like this is what's happening in the games, our reaction to what's happening in the game.
Okay.
So yeah. So, yeah, like I said earlier, you can find us on RangerThingsPodcast.com. If you want to read our takes on hockey, subscribe for free. It's free. You can find us all over social media. Our TikTok is sort of dormant. So is our
So is this?
Instagram.
So is our TikTok.
Yeah.
I haven't done anything with the PCMC TikTok
Well,
in a
like,
long time.
if you guys have any, like, I tried to get the TikTok going with like clips from like YouTube and clips. We used
Yeah.
Riverside to record for a little while. So I tried to get the TikTok going.
Yeah.
I think we just need an intern or some shit.
Yeah, it's like there's only so much shit you can do. Like, that's the thing. Yeah.
If you're on
Because we also have
Twitter,
jobs.
yeah.
It was a real job.
If you're on Twitter, follow us at RangerThings23. Our Twitter account is wild.
Okay.
Yeah,
You
our
get into
Twitter.
a lot of scrapes on there.
Our Twitter account, our Twitter account is a 24/7 gong show.
That's
So
awesome.
it's a lot of fun. So yeah, thanks for having me on. I'd love to come back
Well,
on and talk about some other hockey movies or whatever movies. I'm also a nerd, as you
yes.
know.
Yes. Brendan, thank you so much for being here. The podcast is Ranger Things. Have you gotten a cease and desist from Netflix?
No, not
Over.
yet. I thought we were going to because one of our fans made us a theme song that was the Stranger Things theme song with Rangers highlight reel played over, like dubbed
That's
over it,
fun.
of them
Yeah.
scoring goals. And we played it once, and we were like, "Oh, this is probably gonna get some negative attention. We probably shouldn't play this
Yeah.
anymore."
Yeah, I don't I used to when I first started this podcast, I used to put like clips and like old commercials and shit and, like then like YouTube the it got stricter on copyright strikes and I was like, "You know what? I don't want to put effort into something that someday it's going to be taken away from me." So now it's all I don't put any copyrighted material.
We do. Our song is it's commonly our intro song is the Dancing Larry song. There's a Ranger fan, his name is Larry, and they play this song at Madison Square Garden and he dances to it and they put him on the Jumbotron.
Yeah,
They
you
call it the
guys had a
Dancing Larry
really
song.
funny conversation recently about fucking how crazy it is that there was a player who was arrested for domestic violence and
Yeah, Denny Potvin.
yeah, and that led to a chant that people still do.
So Denny Potvin was a New York Islander in the late 70s into the early 80s. He was a fantastic defenseman and he won Stanley Cups on Long Island and he was arrested for domestic violence. And the Rangers and Islanders are rivals or were rivals when both teams were good at the same time. And after the domestic violence incident, a chant started at Madison Square Garden, and it's actually it's the first sports chant I ever learned as a
And
little kid.
this is triggering. Okay, I want you to know that. This is, we're telling you something historical that people of all ages happily did in public.
Trigger warning. The chant is "Beat your wife, pot van. Beat your wife.
Clap, clap.
Beat your wife, pot man. Beat your wife."
I knew that, and I didn't even
It's
know
horrifying.
it is.
What's horrifying about it is that, like, with nobody saying a word to me, I would just walk around
Yeah.
public areas as a little kid, like the halls of my elementary school,
Sure.
like, "Beat your wife, pot man. Beat your wife."
Yeah. It's
Nobody
fucked up.
had an issue with it.
It's fucked up. All right, Brendan, thank you so much for being here. We end every episode by saying go bye bye.
Go bye bye.